Hello and welcome to Atomic Radio Hour, the post-nuclear podcast. I'm your host, Vince. This is episode 264 of Atomic Radio Hour. How are you? You look fantastic. I hope you're doing well. Welcome to the show. A lot of things to talk about today, but the first thing I want to kind of get into real quick is a little bit of an update on my laptop. So if you've been following for the past, like, what feels like 2 months, my laptop's been on the fritz, and at first there was a fan issue, and then something else was an issue, and I brought it in, the fan got fixed right away, I got two fans for the price of one, brought in my laptop again because there was a continuing issue, and today I was told that the fan was in pieces, one of the fans they put in, and they're like, did you hit it with compressed air? I was like, no, the only time I was ever hit was with compressed air is when you guys had it, and they were like, I see. So I brought it back, and they were like, oh, okay, so we couldn't figure out what it was. We thought it was hardware failure, but it's not hardware failure. We hit it with extra thermal paste just to make sure everything was tip-top, and the fan's going good, and we got that fixed again. And they got it to work, but they didn't get it to work. Because I was like, if I can edit on it and record on it, then I'm good. But I kind of think they're just trying to get me for, like, another almost $200, which sucks because I like this place and I thought they were being good to me, but I'm not quite sure at this point. So hopefully, if I get the laptop back, I'm supposed to get it back this Friday. So by the time this comes out, I should have the, should have the laptop. If I don't, you'll know by next week. But if I don't get it soon, I'm going to try to implement my desktop into the regular schmegular way that I used to make the show and go from there. Like I said, I want to go back to that way, but just, you know, everything that's been going on with computers and what have you has been a little difficult, a little challenging. So I have to kind of work back to it. And I mean, you know, worst comes to worst, which is the worst, I'm going to have to buy a desktop to edit on. Which I kind of wanted to do anyway. I've been trying to look into, like, how to get into freelance editing, but I can't really do that if I don't have a computer to edit on. But I think that's the next move, and I'm going to have to get money together and work a ton of overtime and, you know, just have enough to do it. But thanks for being here. There's some things I'd like to talk about. If you enjoy the show, I suggest that you check out the Patreon. There is a link in the description below to the Patreon. And in the Patreon, there is a $10 tier called the Film Lab for Studio Audience. Today, we again have Captain Lennox with us in the studio audience. And if you like the show and want to see it get recorded live, you could be part of this audience. But there's a lot of things that I want to talk about today. I have a very, very fun piece of lore and some other fun stuff to talk about. Before I get into lore, I want to talk about something that was brought to my attention today by Kyle, and that is the fact that we just now have evidence that aliens are real, and I don't really know how to feel about it, because I don't think anything is going to happen. This is from Associated Press, APnews.com. Whistleblower tells Congress the U.S. is concealing multi-decade program that captures UFOs. This is by Norman Merchant, and it was updated today, which is July 26th at 2:03. I'm not going to go into this a whole lot, but if you want, there's a reference here. The U.S. is concealing a long-standing program that retrieves and reserves and reverse engineers unidentified flying objects. A former Air Force intelligence officer testified Wednesday to Congress. The Pentagon has denied his claims. Here is the problem with aliens being real. Nothing cool is going to happen, because they're never going to tell us if aliens are real. Because once we find an intelligent species that doesn't have a need, if they don't come here looking for war, doesn't have a need for anything other than to tell us how to prosper, how to evolve further, it's going to get taken away from us because of money. Because people are greedy, because if the aliens come here and go, why are you worried about taxes and healthcare and consumerism? We found out ways to make food plentiful and unlimited. We found ways to heal, and we found ways to expand ourselves and make, like, just make our brain, like, use all the parts of our brain. And it'll never happen because it has happened already, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know if Roswell is true. I don't know if any of that stuff is real. But, like, I believe in aliens. I've always believed in aliens. This planet, this galaxy, this universe, the solar system is far, far too big for us to be the only things, the only sentient beings. Now, that could mean that there's like a mucus on Venus. Well, Venus is a gas planet. There could be a mucus on Pluto that technically is two-celled and thinks in the most minor way, saying, I need to eat and sleep today. And I think that's enough to consider it an alien life form. But I've always thought there can't not be aliens out there. And if every single alien, it's not like cults, I think, in the sense where everyone's like, oh, hey, I'm Jesus, or I speak to Jesus, and I'm his right-hand mind and man, and sooner or later I will have his mind and I will be him. It's very much like, oh, hey, this happened to me. Oh, that happened to my buddy Eric, too. Like, oh, this happened to this person and that person. It's all very similar. And yeah, everyone could just be parroting the same thing. But, like, I don't know. I think that if aliens are real, and I think that they are, they're not obsessed with our asses and they don't want to put probes in us. But at the same time, I think that episode of South Park holds a lot of merit, actually, that they would come here to watch us and we'd be like a television show for them. We'd probably be like a vacation activity because of how primitive we are in their eyes. I don't have the answers for if aliens are real or not, but I've been seeing it left and right. And at this point, I don't even care if they are real or not unless they're going to come here. Because you know the first thing that's going to happen is somebody's going to try to have sex with an alien. And I don't blame you. I'm not an alien effer, but I do not blame you for wanting to at least attempt to have sex with the alien. I think as humans, the things that we are that the aliens are not, our brain instantly goes to pipe. I'm not proud to say that, but that's just the way it is. It's the same thing with robots. As soon as we get automatons, people are going to try to have sex with the automatons. Let me know what you think in the comments below if you think aliens are real or not. But before I talk about anything else, I have to thank the Patreon. And because I really want to get into this week's lore. It's a fun one. It's one that I really, really enjoy. But some people that I don't know if they do believe or don't believe in aliens, real quick, I have to talk about the Patreon. Now, the Patreon is the reason why the show can continue and get bigger and better. It helped with my last PC repair, and it'll help with this one in a way. And going down the line, it'll continue to help more and more and more and more. If you'd like to support the show, there's a link in the description below to the Patreon. And like I said, there's a $10 tier called the Film Live Before a Studio Audience, where you get to listen to these episodes be recorded live. And there is also a $1 tier, the cheapest thing I can offer, that you can give a dollar and your voice will still be heard in choosing this week's lore on the Fallout series. So starting from the top, I have to thank a few people. Starting with the OG Noah. Thank you, Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Danny. Thank you, Danny. After Danny, I have to thank Marcus. Thank you, Marcus. After Marcus, I have to thank Mellow Milhouse. Thank you to Mellow Milhouse. And last, but certainly not least, I have to thank the man who is with us tonight, Captain Lennox. Thank you to Captain Lennox. And thank you to everybody else. Thank you to everybody who just checks out the show, even for a minute or an hour. Or goes back and watches over 260 some odd episodes. I thank you, I love you, and I appreciate you. Now, 264. That's a lot of episodes, and I feel like I've done almost every single vault. Turns out I haven't. There's a lot of stuff from 76, and honestly, to be honest, I'm waiting because I don't know what is canon and not canon from 76. I would assume the vaults are, but I don't think all the vaults are open, so I'm kind of waiting. Also, I have to be able to play the game to get in there, and I can't really like use console commands to get over into certain places. But so 264, I wondered if there was an episode, there was a vault that was 64. There's not, but for some reason, just maybe because it's a nice round number, it's not a round number, but you know what I mean, cut that, just because it's a nice number, I think a lot of people have fond memories of the N64. I wanted to do a vault, and I came down to two of them, one from New Vegas and one from Fallout 3. So if you'd like to hear any lore whatsoever, and I mean any lore from the Fallout series, make sure you're in the Patreon. Because even at the $1 tier, every week I ask a question in a poll, and you can have your voice heard, and whichever entry in the poll has the most votes is what gets chosen for the week. And this week's lore, by way of Patreon, is on Vault 92 from Fallout 3. Vault 92 is a Vault-Tec vault in the Capital Wasteland in 2277. World-class musicians from all corners of the globe were told that Vault 92 was a safe haven to protect musical talent during the Great War. The experiment, however, was a white noise generator used to implant subliminal messages into the minds of the Vault's residents. So the overseer is a one Richard Rubin, which is an allusion to Rick Rubin, the musical producer, who you've probably seen but didn't know his name. He's the reason why the Beastie Boys are the Beastie Boys and Run DMC. He's worked with Slayer. I'm pretty sure he's worked with Metallica. He's worked with pretty much everybody. Dude doesn't know how to play an instrument, and I watched an interview with him recently. There's a picture of him on screen. I watched an interview with him recently, and he was like, I don't know how to play a single instrument. I can kind of do certain things. Like, I could program drums, and that's about it. But people pay me because I have good taste in music. So the overseer is Richard Rubin. He started on October 23rd, 2077, the Vault experiment. The Vault Tech Confidential Plan, WNMSCE, or the White Noise Mind Suggestion Combat Experience. The Vault itself was supposed to have 245 occupants and run for a duration of 100 years, and it ran on a Brain Power 7 computer and had a General Atomics nuclear power system set up to supply the Vault with energy, electricity, running water, all that good stuff, right? Now, one thing that was added that's unnecessary or extra for the Vault because of its experiment, because of its inhabitants, is sound and musical equipment and various musical instruments. All of this was installed to allow musicians to continue to create and protect human music and ideals. Now, humans, outside of every other mammal, every other animal on our planet, we make music in a way that's not just to mate. Yes, rock stars hook up with thousands of people without really knowing who they are, much like a bird with the prettiest song. But we have it where it's also just consumed for enjoyment. It's not just trying to lay pipe. It's very much like, hey, I'm going to whistle this tune. I'm going to play this guitar. I'm going to learn something about who I am as a person. I'm going to explore things about the human condition. I'm going to, sometimes a song is just about shaking your ass. But we have a rare instance where it's not just to shake your ass and throw it down, or back, I should say, but very much we make this because it's fun. It's enjoyment. I went to a bunch of shows this year so far. I didn't go with the intention of getting laid. I went with the intention of listening to music and having a good time. And to think that maybe truly one of the only real arts that we have is humanity outside of just the basics of taking a rock and scraping it against a wall and whistling. Like, it's that and whistling. That's all we really have. Like, we have that and that alone, it feels like. Now, the subliminal messages that were put into the sound waves that inhabited the vaults, it was originally just supposed to be the recording studio room, but I'll get into a little bit later how deep it went into the vault. These subliminal messages were used to test if humans could be violent with the power of subliminal suggestion. First tests were on a limited and isolated group of musicians. All of the other dwellers were completely oblivious. There were some dwellers that could hear little blips and beeps and a little high-pitched noise, and they thought maybe it was just coming from other equipment in the room, but it was, in fact, from this experiment that was going on. Most dwellers were completely unaware, and relationships and lives and projects began to flourish. There's two people that we really have to focus on here inside the vault. There's Rick Rubin, Richard Rubin, and there's John Malleus, who is a professor inside of the vault. And there's also a woman, Hilda Egelberch, who started a relationship, a romance happened between the professor and this violinist, Hilda Egelberch. I get all of my lore off of fallout.fandom.com, the Nukipedia, if you will, and I check that for every, I reference that, and I have some direct quotes that I'm going to be reading both off of my notes and double-checking the wiki in front of me. But one of Professor Malleus's audio log, his holotape, V92-01, So far, the experiment is going exactly as planned. We're subjecting the residents to extremely low frequency white noise in regular intervals throughout the loudspeaker system. Using the soundproof recording studios and the musicians was an inspired idea. Kudos to the Vault Tech Selection Committee on their shrewdness. Ruben had the white noise also pumped into the living quarters, and as I'm going to talk about a little bit later in my notes, it wasn't just the living quarters, it was everywhere. Anything that had a speaker system, it pumped through. Ruben also did not allow the residents to have their own personal music devices, no record players, no holotape players, nothing. No radios, absolutely nothing. No headphones. To ensure that every single person was constantly listening to the white noise, the music that was subliminally messing with their heads. And I want to read off of Malleus's audio log, V92-02. I'm a bit encouraged by the last batch of data. It seems that 33% of subjects are now lapsing into a trance-like state on occasion. When in this state, we're fairly certain their suggestion and programming of the subject can be applied. We've begun testing this by implanting subtle cues in affected subjects, making them scratch their ear or constantly fix their hair. So as far as I'm happy to report, 100% success rate on this implementation method. The success of this did not last very long. Subject V920717 went fucking berserk. He kills three dwellers, and a security team is needed to take him down, and he's killed with 23 gunshots. Excerpt from log V92-03, the subject has no history of violence or mental instability whatsoever. My concern is that the subject is one of our most successful implant recipients, able to execute complex instruction during the trance state. The overseer saw this and thought it was a good thing. The man who they took down, subject V920717, had increased strength, tenacity, and unflinching obedience. The experiment trudged on nevertheless. No one knew that the white noise was changing them neurologically. They suffered from dizziness, nausea, gradual loss of higher cognitive motor control, and psychosis in some cases. So some people were literally losing their mind. They were going insane. They were becoming psychotic because of this. And Overseer Richard Rubin thought this was a fine thing. And you couldn't even leave the vault. Like, that's the biggest thing. Like, even if Malleus or Ruben were like, you know what, this is wrong, I'm out, let's leave, let's try to get everybody out of here, they couldn't escape. The location was so poorly chosen. It's too close to underground water sources and caused gradual deterioration throughout the entire vault, to the point that it caused the pipes to corrode and made the pipes leak throughout the entirety of the vault. The lower levels of the vault, their walls completely caved in even after attempts to reinforce. So not only are you losing people, you're losing space, you're losing resources, you're also losing this to time. Like, in 100 years, 200 years, even 5, 10, 20 years, even if we get the point where we have excavation machines and we can dig that shit out, there's no way you're going to be able to see what was down there. It's completely gone. The collapse of the vault was the least of their worries, though. Another 12 incidents happened with dwellers within a month. 10 dwellers fell victim to the white noise. To back this up, I'd like to read from Professor Malleus's audio log V92-04. Unbelievable. We had 12 more incidents in the past month, mirroring subject V920717's action. The shocking part is the savagery. The savagery this aberrant exhibit when they murder. They rip the victim apart limb from limb, eviscerate them by hand. They used to be respected members of the musical community. How could this be happening? Where have I gone wrong? There's also Richard Rubin's personal logs and his personal entry, 00089-7377. Malleus says MNWSCE is a failure. So there's been a few deaths, one step back, two steps forward. It's easy to suppress what everyone in the vault is calling crazies. I've added a command word to their suggestion implants. Simply say the phrase, sanity is not statistical, and they will stop dead in their tracks. I've informed the guards of this, but I've told them to only use it when in earshot of anyone else. At this point, 30% of the Vault's population, almost 70 people total, were estimated to be clinically insane, and 35 people were dead. Professor Malleus proposes abandoning the Vault because it turned dangerous for the dwellers, but also him and the overseer, but the security guards, the other dwellers that weren't experiencing any form of psychosis. It was incredibly dangerous for them because the ones that were experiencing psychosis were pretty much boiled down to nothing more than just mindless brutes. From Rick Rubin's personal entry 00089739 8, the command phrase is no longer working against the crises. I don't know what the hell happened, but I'm losing control of the situation. If we don't get things under control soon, we're going to have a huge revolt on our hands. Malleus is inciting the rest of the Vault into action. I'm afraid by the power invested in me by Vault Tech Corporation, I have no chance but to have him killed. What a waste. Some of the Vault dwellers, along with Malleus, got their hands on some guns and tried to protect themselves. The entire Vault fell to its knees. Professor Malleus was told the truth about the Vault from a mortally wounded security guard. The white noise emitters were hooked up into the bedrooms as so they could get into the dwellers' heads. They could get exposure in their sleep. And from Malleus's final log, audio log V92-06, I can't believe what I've discovered. Just before he died, one of the security team members told me everything. The overseer had begun implanting these murderous intentions into the entire Vault population without my knowledge, using the loudspeaker in the dorms instead of just the studio. He subjected everyone to the white noise as they slept. He then implanted combat suggestions he claimed came from Vault Tech itself. He must be completely insane. No observation, no controls. I'm going to have to go and confront him now and make him pay for what he's done. Half of the Vault is dead. The other half is fighting for its life. Good luck to all of us, and may God have mercy on our souls. Once everyone was dead, the Vault flooded from the leaks and the underground water sources. All sorts of mutated creatures now inhabit Vault 92. That's pretty much all the history you get on Vault 92. There's a lot of more fun stuff with the Vault. It's a fun place to explore. It's right outside of Old Oni, and it's just a pain in the ass kind of area. This is probably the Vault I've done the least because of its location. And because the Vault itself isn't easy to find, but neither is the quest that a lot of people use to get to the Vault. A quest by the name of Agatha Song. I had a friend. Sadly, he passed away, but I had a friend who loved this quest so much that this was one of the first things they would do, and after they would do it, they would leave her radio station on. Agatha's Song is a very straightforward quest. There's a woman named Agatha who misses good classical music, and retrieve the Saul Stratovarius from Vault 92 for Agatha, an old woman living alone in her house in the Capital Wasteland. You go and you give her the strat, and she gives you the Blackhawk, which is one of the best pistols in the game. It's a very sweet quest, very straightforward. It has its own little trophy achievement icon. It's a quest that I've really only done a handful of times. And it's one that I want to do again because I just don't really know this vault all that much. This vault is actually able to be a player house with beds and secure containers, meaning that the containers won't refresh, and you can sleep here totally okay. None of the beds are owned. Unlike most vaults, the reactor's actually flooded. The engineer's logs mention stress fractures and water seepage in three areas on D level, presuming the existence of an underground lake or spring, and warning that unless a solution is found, we'll be knee deep in nasty groundwater or worse. This explains why there's mire lurks on the lower level. When the overseer Rick Rubin says the phrase, sanity is not statistical, it's actually a reference to the George Orwell book, 1984. Some of the dwellers that lived inside of 92 go by the name of Gordon Sumner, which is actually Sting's real name. Zoe Hammerstein gets her name from Broadway lyricist and songwriter Oscar Hammerstein II. And GNR's song, I'm in Love with a Wonderful Guy, is from Roger and Hammerstein's musical, South Pacific. Zoe Hammerstein's diary mentions that they had played Haydn's Symphony No. 3 in D minor, but the symphony was originally written in the keys of G major and G minor. This is a really cool vault. This is one that I don't feel like I knew a ton about until we got here. It's cool that it's a musical vault. It's also dope that there's just an idea about what humans are going to want to do and how they're going to want to experience art after a great war. I feel like if this was put into Fallout 4 or even 76, this idea could have been fleshed out a little more, because Fallout 4 had Linda Carter playing Magnolia in Fallout 4, and it was the first time that there was actual new music in the game that wasn't just hits from the 30s, 40s, 50s, and today. And shit stuff like Good Neighbor and Train Train. And it would be nice to be able to hear maybe an original piece that was composed and see how different it could be when you're isolated inside of a vault, even if the vault didn't last that long. My other thought was, a lot of music has been intrinsically tied to drugs, as far as I'm concerned, since its inception. The Beatles, quote-unquote, got good, if you believe in that, because of acid. Pink Floyd, the same thing. One of my favorite albums ever was exclusively made on one strain of marijuana. There's a bunch of... As long as music has been around, there's people that just want to smoke weed and listen to music. And I wonder if drugs were smuggled into the vault, if people knew how to make drugs, if people knew how to do that. And when you're surrounded by the same, let's say, 15 people you're making music with, when do the ideas become stale? Is it a constant reinforcement? You don't have any other outside experiences from the world coming into you. It's very, very interesting to me to think, if I put, let's say, 50 musicians in one house for 20 years with no outside interaction, how much different would their sound change? Would they go insane? Would they be making the same shit ever? Would you get something that is like a phenomenal cultural touchstone that's like, this is it, like this is what this is all about, like this changes the way would you get a thriller times 10? I like this vault a lot. It makes me think, and that's one of my favorite things about Fallout, is it lets my mind do all the creative thinking with its environmental storytelling and whatnot. But that, my friends, is pretty much all I have for this week's lore. I hope you guys are doing well. I hope you guys are living it up. Because you're chilling, kicking it. I had a weird day today. As I left work, some woman just... And this is like all Colorado drivers, man. This is like... I don't know what it is. They're all like this. This woman got out of her car at a stoplight, at a busy intersection, man. Got out of her car with the keys. I'm assuming the keys in there. Got out of her car and started banging on my window. And I'm just not looking at her. Like... If a homeless person starts banging on my window, I'm not going to, like, make eye contact, because that's what they want. And I know that sounds really inhumane, but, like, I'm just trying to go about my day. I understand that they're in a situation that no human should be in, but, like, I got places to be. I just work 10 hours and I'm exhausted. She starts banging on my window, right? And I'm on the phone with my mom, and I'm, like, not listening whatsoever. And I'm, like, on the phone with my mom going, this crazy woman is banging on my door. Can you believe this? She's banging on my window. She's getting like in front, like, you know, the blind spot on like the driver's side. She's like getting past that in my front windscreen. And she's like waving up and down. And I'm like inching forward just to make sure that like she knows that I'm not paying attention. And then the light turns green and I peel out because there's no reason why anybody. So like that. And then I thought she was following me because I was like a quarter of a mile, like maybe even a third of a mile ahead of her. And then she's just behind me. And I thought she was filming me. So I like made a right-hand turn and totally got lost for like an extra like 15 minutes because some whack job. So tomorrow, I think I'm going to wait till the same time I left work today and make sure that I'm in front of her and see if she does it again. Just to see how much of a nut job she's going to be this time. Anyway, the main thing I wanted to talk about here, I just wanted to talk about that because I couldn't believe how wacky ass it was. I saw the Barbie movie and it rips. It's so good. It's not a kids movie, and that kind of sucks, but it's also just like this feminist banger, and I loved it. And it was just like, there's a scene in there where a character gives a speech about like, you know, I can't be too sexy, and I can't be too ugly, and I can't want to have sex, and I can't not want to have sex, and I'm just a woman, and like, I can't win. And I really enjoyed it. I thought it was funny. As someone who collects toys and understands the importance of toys and how Barbie has shaped a generation of women, multiple generations of women, and how people say, oh, she's too sexy. Oh, she's not sexy enough. Now there's Barbie in a wheelchair. I believe there's a Barbie with Down syndrome. There was trans women in the movie that were Barbies. It was cool. It was cool to see everybody represented. Everybody loved. Everybody was there. It was very gay. It was a very gay movie. I'm not saying that in a bad way, but I'm saying in the sense that the audiences, it was a lot of women and a lot of gay people. And I genuinely want to know from you guys. So leave a comment or join the Discord and let me know if you guys get this, because nobody knows how to shut the hell up in a movie now. And when I left, I looked at my one friend and I go, is it because the last big movie before COVID was the last Avengers movie, and people just think that it's okay to like yell and complain because that's what the last Avengers movie was? At least for me, it was very much everyone like hooting and hollering and like, yeah, Captain America, and like going nuts for no reason. I get it. You're having fun at the movie. Like I enjoy when people laugh and like even people like, yeah, like at Godzilla movies, I go, yeah. Like, I'm like, hell yeah, Godzilla, kick his ass. Like, I get excited for those movies, and I get it. But when it's, like, people talking to the screen like we're watching Dora the Explorer, I was like, is it because that was the last big movie? And my friend looks at me and goes, no, maybe, who knows? But he goes, I think it's because for the past 3 years we've been all cooped up inside and just watched everything on streaming. So if you're watching that with somebody, you just go, eh, that's pretty dumb. Did you ever see this guy in Roseanne? Like, it's just, that's what you have as the norm. And then we started talking about how like everyone was cooped up and went through the trauma of COVID and how we all thought we were going to die. And that trauma is going to probably take about 3 to 10 years to get over. And it's going to be really hard for everybody. And I feel bad for the kids, but I enjoy the movie. And there was a point in it where I wanted to like turn around. So here's the thing. I'm the first person to tell someone at a movie to be quiet because I'm trying to watch. I didn't pay a ton. I think I paid like $8 a ticket. I paid $8 to come see a movie. Presumably, you paid $8 to come see a movie because you can't walk into a theater anymore. Like, you can't just walk in, buy a ticket, and go sit. You have to purchase your seats ahead of time, which I don't like. I like the thrill of finding a seat and going, you want to sit here? How about here? This one might be cool. No, that's too far to the right. Like, I enjoy that a lot, right? So, like, I'm assuming you paid your ticket. I paid my ticket. Shut up. Like, stop talking in the theater. We're all trying to watch a movie. I took money out of my bank account. I took time out of my schedule. I don't have a lot of time. I'm always tired. Ah, like, why can't you just be... Okay, here's the most egregious crime of them all. Somebody brought their baby in. Somebody brought a stroller. It was a 9:45 in the evening show. 9:45 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Somebody brought a baby in with a stroller and then handed the baby a cell phone and played YouTube videos the whole time. Thank God they weren't near me because I would have lost my shit. So like we walk out and I was like, nobody else was upset about the baby. And I grew up around little kids. Like I'm 11 years older than my brother. So I've just learned to tune it out. Like you just kind of go about your day and I don't hear it because I'm used to it. I was always around kids. I've always been decent with babies. I like being around babies. They're fun. They don't have prejudice yet. They don't have an understanding of time. They just want to have fun. Like up until you're like 11, all you want to do is have fun. And that's what those kids want to do. And I just want to have fun. And if I ever became like a dictator or like a monarch, I wouldn't change much. I really wouldn't. I would, you know, I change things for the better. You know, people get more money. I'd fix housing, healthcare, like art school is cheaper. Like people should like have to pursue an art, you know. Like, not like mandatory, but like you should, like, we're going to give you the opportunity to go pursue something that isn't just slave away. But like my dictatorly thing would be if you bring a kid into an R-rated movie, first off, that's one thing if they're quiet. If you bring a kid into a movie or a baby into a movie and I can hear the kid or the baby talk the entire time or watch a video the entire time, I'm having your children taken away from you. You don't deserve to have children at that point. You don't, like, you're ruining the experience for everybody else. Seeing a movie isn't cheap. $8 to see a movie, another $9, $10 for a big bucket of popcorn, that's $20 for me to go sit down. And I don't mind that. Because growing up, all my friends that smoked weed, when I didn't smoke weed, they'd be like, oh man, come on, let's smoke weed. And someone would buy a gram of weed for fucking $20. They'd be like, oh dude, this is such good weed. Oh, I'm so high. Yes, dank nugs. And I'd be like, yeah, that $20 gets me into the movies or buys me like two DVDs or buys me like a record or two records or two CDs. Or like if I go to the 50 cent room, I can get, I could get 40 records. You know what I mean? Like, so like, to me, that's not a ton of money. I'm being entertained. But like, people are yelling at the screen and these women are yelling at the screen. And how am I supposed to turn around and tell women to shut up at the feminist movie? It's almost like I didn't understand the plot of the movie. So I'm like stuck in a rock and a hard place where I just want to be like, yo, I need you to be quiet. She's in the middle of like the speech of the movie. Like, not the memes that we saw in the trailer, but like the point of the movie. I'm trying to experience this. The Barbie movie, if nothing else, will win an Oscar for set design and costume design because everything looked like a toy. Like, I hate CGI. There was one instance of CGI that was not practical. And I say practical in the sense of like, oh, it helped flesh out the backgrounds or something. Like, it's a waffle coming out of a toaster. That's it. That's the only CGI. Everything else was done with like wires. Everything else was done with real props. Everything looks like a toy. They walk on the water and it's solid. It's a fantastic movie. It's very, very fun. It's very, very enjoyable. I'm seeing Oppenheimer this weekend. I hope people don't talk during it. It's also a 3-hour movie about men smoking cigarettes and talking about genocide. So I hope it's not like, oh, ha, 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 the whole time. But I look forward to seeing that. And next week, I'll probably let you know what I think about it a tiny, tiny bit. And that's really all I have for you this week. I hope you guys are well. I hope you're safe and happy. If you like the intro music, it's by the one and only Shane Ivers. Link below to not only the intro song Feather Duster, but a link to all of his music at silvermansounds.com/feather duster. Join the Discord. Come and have a conversation. Let me know how you're feeling, what you're thinking, what you're doing. There's also a link to the Patreon. Again, thank you to the Patreon. You could support at the $1 to the $10 level. There's a link to the Redbubble to help support. Just showing this to a friend, sharing it with a homie, doing something nice with your pal helps out tremendously. I love you very much, and hopefully I'll see you when you'll see me next week. But if not, we're gonna work it out. I love you very much, and I'll be seeing you soon. Bye, everybody.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
This has been a production made by your friends at Ghoulman Entertainment.